turn to Isaiah chapter 51. Good morning. Praise God. Wow. Christ, what a message. Pastor Hadley, thank you for that word. And Pastor Hadley was in the Peace Corps down in Ecuador, came back to the States and had a hunger in his heart for God and returned to Ecuador as a missionary with a message and lived there many years, him and Nancy. And they were just now in Latin America at the Peruvian LAMCON. LAM is Latin American Missions Conference every year with Pastor Schiavelli and a small group. And they had a conference and Pastor Hadley comes back and says, wow, it's the best kept secret to go out into go to a country and preach the gospel and sense that God is with you. Before somebody may do that, it's important that they would also have a small feast. This is our theme today. They can do it, but they need to discover God as they do it, like all of us. We would like to find God or God find us. Look at Isaiah 51 in verse 2, please. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone. That's a phrase I want you to get your eyes on. I called him alone. Were there other people involved? Apparently not. God called him, and it was personal, and to his heart, and he believed, and he left home. He packed up and moved on, and the story is fascinating. Abraham had a small feast when he was called. It was small because there weren't many people there. It was only him and God. And I feel this is important for us. Sometimes I've met people and asked them, how did you get saved? And they will tell the story, and it's personal, it's intimate. It might have been on the street, might have been in the backyard, might have been in a house with an open Bible. It might have been under the moon, on the beach, when in their heart. With Billy Graham, he was on a golf course on the 18th hole in the night crying out to God, and God visited Billy Graham alone on the 18th hole of that golf course. He wrote it in his biography. And he knew. And God had told him he was going to use him. And he did. I wonder when God spoke to Noah. And God spoke to Noah and told him to build an ark. And Noah did it and worked for scores of years, and then when the storm came and the persistent rain and the earth is flooded and he's on the boat with his family, that he could say, I remember when God spoke to my heart 120 years ago, when God spoke to me to build the ark. And he did. And he could say, I did not believe a lie. It was true. It happened. I say this because it parallels Mary and the story of Mary and the angel Gabriel that met her, which we're going to look at. And turn there now. Let's go there now to Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And in the 6 months, that was a 6 month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, which is a miraculous story that Zechariah and his wife could not have children. They were both elderly, but the angel had appeared unto him and said that his wife would have a child. Zechariah apparently didn't really believe it. The angel said, "You will not be able to speak for the length of the pregnancy." So Zechariah went dumb and could not speak. I think of unbelief leaving me in speechlessness. I have no message. I am in unbelief. I've stopped talking. Maybe some withdraw. But what the angel said actually happened. Elizabeth had a child. She was pregnant 6 months with a child. Well, now she can see. People could see that she's pregnant. And you know what she did? She stayed home. She was secluded. She did it on purpose. She didn't want. It was amazing that this was happening to this elderly woman. And it's strange, actually. But she secluded herself. Mary did not know that her cousin Elizabeth was pregnant, but she was 6 months pregnant. And at that time, the right time, the angel came to Mary, and this is what the angel said, verse 26. The 6 month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Espoused meaning she's engaged, the fiancé. The agreement to marry, everything understood. You are my woman, you are my man. All of it clear that one day they would be married, though they are not married yet. Verse 28, and the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." What I want you to see in this story is something that I hope could parallel your life. Has God visited you? Has God spoken to you? Have you had a sense from God of a personal meeting with God, meeting God with his words? "You are highly favored," he said. Gabriel said it. He's a messenger from God. What I am saying isn't have to do with angels per se. It could, but my point is meeting Christ. Christ saying to you, "You are highly favored." But I'm not highly favored. You don't know, Pastor, my secret life and how I live. And would God say to you, "You are highly favored"? He would. On what basis? The basis of his Son, Christ. You are an object of his love. You're an object of his grace. You are forgiven of all sin, past sin, present, and future sin. All sin. There's no more sacrifice for sin. Yes, through the blood of Jesus, our sins are washed away. We are redeemed by the blood of Christ. We are saved. We are his children. You are highly favored. Now, wait a minute. There's something about us that doesn't believe that, because we have what's called guilt. We also have conscience. We have to pay for things. We have to earn them. We have to make our way. We have to show our integrity, our sincerity. We have to make an effort. This is how we live as people. This is only normal. You work hard in school, work hard at your job, you work hard at home. You kind of prove your way. You try to find favor and gain favor, but this is different with God. It has to be. There's no way that a sinful man can become a saint. There's no way. Out of an unclean dumpster, I like that illustration. Can you take something clean out of a dumpster? Or out of a COVID-infected COVID ward, can you find somebody clean? You know, that idea. If you are contaminated, you are contaminated. If you are a sinner, you are a sinner. If you have failed, you have failed. If you are unworthy, you are unworthy. There's only two kinds of people. There's a sinful person and there's Christ. And a great exchange has happened. And this is now, you are highly favored. No, I'm not highly favored. Yes, God wants you to know that. You are in Christ. You are forgiven. You are redeemed. You are loved. You are loved with an everlasting love. This is incredible. Well, so was creation. Creation was incredible. And the making of a man was incredible. And the incarnation is incredible. And the forgiveness of sin is incredible. And the resurrection of the dead is incredible. And the rapture is incredible. And the second coming of Christ, when he's about to be crucified, they said, then tell us plainly, are you the Christ? He said, I am, and you shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. What? Yes. On a horse. Revelation 19. These are the things that are not believed in the world, but they are the things that you believe. Do you believe them? Many do not. Many Christians that go through the motion of Christianity, to them, Christianity is morality. To them, it's being a good person. To them, many people is trying to make the effort. It's trying to be a good person and be a nice citizen. Ah, enough of that. I am not interested in it. I don't care about that. I do not care about that. That is not my primary target. I am not here in the world to be a good citizen. That's not my primary target. My primary target in life is to know God. If you know God, your life will take on another dimension. It happened to Mary. I want God in my life. I want God in my... So when I pay my taxes, I do it before God. So when I shovel my sidewalk or I say to my neighbor, have a good day, have a good day. When I forgive, how about Christmas season? Do you know it's a time of giving? Do you have anybody in your life where there's a distance between you and that person? And your love could include them. Your love could reach out to a prodigal son. Or to a friend you haven't talked to because you're angry, we're upset with them, we're a relative far away. Could Christmas mean that God has done something extraordinary for us so that we could express what? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Could that be my Christmas? Well, we can talk about it, think about it. The angel said to Mary, you are highly favored. Now, this is a small feast. We've got it on the wall over there, as you saw. It's small because it's only an angel and Mary. But it's something that she will never forget the rest of her life. She will say, as she can tell it in confidence to her husband later, in life. She can, whenever, however that would work, whatever she wants to do with it. But she can say, an angel appeared to me. It happened 33 years later, 34 years later, when Jesus is on the cross dying, she can say, an angel appeared to me. Later at Pentecost, when she's in the upper room with 120 people, and the Holy Spirit falls down on the whole group, and they're empowered by God, she can say to a friend or anybody, she said, I had a feast, a spiritual feast one day years ago, and it happened. This happened. I cannot deny it. I cannot explain it. It's above and beyond, but it's changed my life. I want you and I to think about the fact that we also have had, or we would like to have, yes, a feast with God's visitation and carry it with us in our lives. It's real. And this is a story that kind of parallels what we're thinking about today. Look at chapter 1, verse 29. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. I'll make a list here, if I got this here, how this goes. Small feast, two people, if you can call Gabriel, he's an angel, two persons, one is a Mary, one is Gabriel. She is troubled. And I think that's a normal thing. Spurgeon said in one of his messages, he said, half of London is believing a lie. This is in the 19th century. I'll read it to you. He said, there are persons in this place this morning who believe that if they were religious, they would be miserable. Yeah, I think so too. I think there are people out there that are feeling if they came here and they became a believer, they'd be miserable. They think that way. He said, it is the settled conviction of half of London that to trust in Jesus and be obedient to God, which is the essence of all true religion, would be wretchedness itself. Oh, says the worldly man, I should give up all my pleasures if I became a Christian. Now, this is one of the most wicked slanders that ever was invented, and yet it has current belief everywhere. It is the popular theology that to be an enemy to God is happiness, but to be the friend of God is misery. I wonder if you can follow that with me. When I was an unbeliever, I could look at religious people and say, I don't want to lose all the things that make me happy and I have a good time doing. I don't want that to be taken away from me. Maybe if I trust God, I will lose the things that make me happy. I thought like that. But then I saw it again. I'm actually not happy doing all the things that I want to do. I lie down in sorrow many times. And further, I don't know where I go when I die. I am afraid of death. When Mary met the angel, she was troubled because she didn't know what it meant. Are you going to take away from me something? Are you here with a bad message for me? I don't know that I trust you. I don't know actually what is going on in this meeting. There are people that need to, like, think again and realize that, wait a minute, maybe God has something to say to me, and maybe I should have the courage to hear what he has to say to me. Maybe I should trust him. Maybe he will take the poison out of my life and give me the vitamins I need. Maybe he will take away from me death and give me life. Maybe he will instruct me and teach me. You see, when she met the angel, like all of us, she was concerned about what it means. And I think coming to a meeting like this could also cause in the hearts of people some kind of fear, some kind of worry or anxiety. Best I stay away. I stay away from reading the Bible. I stay away from Christian people. I stay away from the church. I stay away. Maybe it's better. They could reason. But this small feast is searching the heart, and it's valuable. God called Abraham alone, and somehow in that meeting, God was saying to Abraham, I am for you. You have no idea what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to preserve you. I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I am God, and I can do that. And do you believe that God could do something for your life, like take away the stuff that kills you and give you something that you really need, something that'll really give you joy and give you peace and wisdom and guidance, something that you really need? Yes, he will. But you have to kind of decide on your own. It's a meeting with you and God. It's a small meeting in size, but it's a powerful one. It's like when I asked my wife to marry me. It was like a small meeting. It was her and I. But was it a powerful meeting? Did it mean something? Yeah. It was powerful. Does she remember it today, 44 years later? Yeah. I don't know. I hope so. Actually, I haven't actually asked her, actually, now that I think about it. All right, so go back to the text, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not. So Mary was troubled, and I'll put here the word fear. There is a fear that is slavish, or it is bondage. It is a fear that oppresses us. But this fear that Mary had undoubtedly was something that troubled her. She was troubled, but then is the respect that she had, the fear of the unknown, or the fear of a mighty angel standing, was a healthy fear. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Maybe it opened her heart. Maybe she, the fear, and the angel said, don't fear. And now comes this amazing ministry of comfort to this woman that touches our hearts. Look at chapter 1, verse 30. Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Again, he repeats it. It's okay. You have favor with God. It's okay. I am for you. Behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. That's a word that would catch your forever. What? Kings reign for 2 years, 10 years, 50 years, not forever. But this one will reign forever, obviously. He is the one that Micah 5:2. O Bethlehem, though there are, you are one among the thousands of Ephratah, but from you comes forth a ruler whose beginnings are from everlasting. A prophecy about the eternal nature of him who is born in Bethlehem, whose name is Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Counselor. This is his name. A virgin will conceive, Isaiah 7:14. Unto us a son is given, a child is born. This is extraordinary, beyond. And Mary is like you and I, listening to these words that transcend our life. We had the tornado in Kentucky, but we need something to transcend our life. Could you imagine? I thought about our church and the roof being ripped off this whole complex and this tornado going through Baltimore City, doing what happened out there, and how tragic and sad that we would assemble and look at the devastation and have Christ who transcends everything in this world. In the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. These words have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, tornadoes, lost sons and daughters, broken promises, broken hearts, disillusionment, disappointment. But we had a small feast once in our life. We had a small feast, and God told us we are highly favored. He is for us and not against us. He is the one that is from the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is from everlasting. Go to the next part. It goes, verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She has intelligence here. She has a mind. She has something to say, something to challenge it, something to say, this could not happen. I do know a man. I cannot have a pregnancy. I do not know a man. That cannot happen. She's able to talk, reason. She's sensible. She's a person like you and I that can doubt and question things, that we are reasonable people. This is very healthy about us in life. But then in this small feast, in this talk between you and God, there are words of life. There's the scripture. I want to say to you, you know, you might be a very good person, very nice person, an excellent Christian, but I got to tell you something. You need more than that. You need this book, and read it, and keep reading it, and think about it. God will give you. I've had problems in my life. I'm a good guy. I can be a good guy. I'm a good guy. I'm not a bad guy. I'm a good guy, but it's not enough. I got to read the book here. And these things help me in my life. Nobody could help me. Nobody. But God could speak to me. God could give me a word. You cannot just be a good guy. You got to have something more in your life. Like Mary is saying, how could this be? I do not know a man. That's like us saying, How do you explain creation? How do you explain the creation of man or human language? How do you explain my troubles? How do you explain the tornado that just ripped through the heartland of our country, devastating the lives of thousands of people? How can you explain my depression? How do you explain my broken heart? How can you take care my son is in prison, somebody could say, or I lost a son on the streets of Baltimore? I'm brokenhearted. How do you explain it? Nobody, nobody can help you like God can help you. I'm not kidding. I want you to have that kind of life. That's why you come here. Because we open the Bible and we make known things from the Bible. And it's just as clear. We're not smart people. We don't have any special talent or ability, anything like that. But we have God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to us through the Bible to our hearts. And this is a new way of living. And this is what happened to her. Read it with me, please. It says, verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, he gave the answer, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. What? The Holy Spirit will come upon you. That's what will happen. You mean me? Now, 2021? You mean me now? Yes. Holy Spirit will come upon you. Me? Yeah. Yes. He'll come. He'll take it away from you. He'll take the thing away from you. The thing that you feared. Listen, you cannot live in fear of COVID. You cannot live in fear of cancer. You cannot live with some bitterness in your heart. You cannot live in fear of a car accident. You cannot live in fear of losing your house. You cannot live in fear of getting unhealthy or getting sick or getting old. You cannot live in fear of any of those things. No, you cannot live like that. No, this is different. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. That's how we want to live. All those things can happen to us, and undoubtedly some of them will, for sure. But the Lord said, the Lord is my shepherd. David said it in Psalm 23, I shall not lack. Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And you will prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And my head is anointed with oil, and my cup is running over. And surely, listen to that, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Where's the fear in those? Where is it? It's like, that's part of life. But that's not where we're living. Someday I want to say this to all of our young people who've been to GGCA. Sometimes they get something in their head. I grew up on this campus. I grew up in this church. I've been to the day school. I've been to the Bible college. Or I've been in this church. I need a new chapter. I need to go do something new. And I would say to them, be careful with that. Of course, we want you to, you can go on and move. You're growing up and we're behind it. We're behind that, where God leads you and what he does. But there's also another leading, and that is that even though this has been my home for many years, it'll always be my home. Because God is in this place. Has nothing to do with whether I've been here my whole life or not. It has something to do with something deeper. And that is God's will for my life. And where he wants me to be. What church he wants me to be part of. And what is he saying to me? Okay, go to the next verse, please. It says, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. therefore also that holy thing. Notice he does not say that holy person. He says the holy thing. Why? Because it's beyond a man. It's not just a person beyond. It's even indescribable. He calls it a thing here. It's beyond. It's a man glorified. It's the Christ, God-man, 100% God, 100% man. It's conceived in you. You are of the seed of David. Mary, you are of the genealogy of David's seed, who was promised that his son would sit on the throne forever. And this is the fulfilling of it. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin, Elizabeth. This, I think, is the most amazing word for Mary. Because what it means in this little meeting here, notice here, we have this thing here, this small feast. She's troubled and trying to figure out how this would go. And the angel drops this word in there. He goes, and your cousin. Your cousin. That's like a key. Your cousin, Elizabeth. Why is it a key? Because her cousin lives in Judah. And she could go see her. And the angel said, your cousin is an old woman. But she's pregnant. By a miracle of God. And just like she is pregnant by a miracle of God, so you are. You are now. This has happened. You are. This is what's happening. That holy thing in you is called the Son of God. And your cousin. You see, there's a linkage there. That's a beautiful thing. Like, there's an angel that's going to be gone. What do I have on the earth? I have his promise, and I have conceived, but I have a cousin. I could go see her. And the angel said, she's pregnant. She's in seclusion. These are in another verse. She's in seclusion. Nobody knows it. But she's showing. She's 6 months. And when you could... The angel didn't tell her to do it, but she did it. You go see her. You can go see her, and you will know what I'm saying is true. Let's read it. Verse 36, behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. I'm telling you the truth. Do you know that you will one day be raised from the dead? Your body will be gone and glorified. Do you know that when you drop, when you are gone, when your spirit leaves your body drops, but you will not be dead. You will be with God. In Luke 16, two angels took the poor man to heaven. Do you know you will meet people in heaven that you've known on the earth? Do you know that that is a reality, that they are there now in a feast? And we are now with a small feast being told these things, and we're saying impossible. And the angel said, Mary, what's impossible with men is possible with God. This is happening. This is happening. Go and see Elizabeth. The angel didn't say that, but I'm saying it to make the point. Go, run. Run to Elizabeth and see, check it out. Go ahead, run. Run down to Judah. It's like a week of walking, or a couple weeks to walk down to Judah to see your cousin. Verse 38, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. So she's believing and she's submitted. Be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. How did she go? Haste. Why? Filled with curiosity. What? My old cousin Elizabeth? What? And she goes. That's like us. I want to go to the church to see if these things are so. I want to go to a Christian library and read about the saints of God and see if these things are so. I want to read the testimonies of believers to see if these things are so. I want evidence that these things are so. My Bible says it, and I want to meet the believers that say it is so. I want fellowship with this thing because I have a small feast that I'm going to carry with me my whole life. I'm going to remember this. Because this is nothing less than a supernatural pregnancy that is inexplicable. Read it with me, and we're going to finish. Mary arose with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And you know where Mary's eyes went right away when she met her cousin? To her belly. And Mary is looking for the evidence. This is the sixth month. Is it so? But it actually goes the other way. Instead of Mary saying, an angel appeared to me, and no, it went the other way. It was Elizabeth who was the first one. And she prophesies. And she's saying something to Mary that blows Mary's mind. She said, this is the short version, she said, you are the mother of my Lord. You are the mother of my Lord. She's a young woman not showing at all, right? Just young woman visiting her cousin. You, that's it. This is a coming together of elements that are beyond us. This is true. This is true. This is our reality. Let the world tell their stories. We have this one. There's no way to explain this. There's no way this could have been invented. There's no way to explain it. It's unbelievable. Let's read it. Verse 39. And we read it. 40, we read 41. It came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spake out with a loud voice, and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. I would think Elizabeth would be talking about her womb. You know, that's what she would do. My womb, I am showing. This is miraculous. I'm old. There's no way she didn't. She said, your womb, blessed are you among women, and the fruit of your womb. And then it says, Elizabeth, verse 43, and whence is this to me? Now comes this part. What is this to me? That the mother of my Lord should come to me. That's where we'll finish right there. You are carrying my Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, in your womb. And how could that be that you would come to me to visit me? When you have a small feast in your life, should be something about it that cannot compare to anything else in this world. The fools that go to parties and celebrate things because We have nothing else but our emotions, our lust, our passions, our sinfulness, our greed, our arrogance. The dinner party filled with arrogance, the talk about money and power, or influence or privilege, or the new things I bought, or arrogance about our self-life or something. All of these feasts are empty and shallow. But this feast, this one, is the one you want. If you've never had it, ask God to lead you and guide you in it. It'll happen. Because he is for you. You are highly favored. Christ is in. And once you have it, keep it. Remember it. And Mary, all her life, remembered this. She pondered it in her heart. Everything she saw as Christ grew up as a child. And then ultimately his ministry. She said at his first miracle at the marriage feast, at the marriage supper, she said, do everything he tells you. That's what she said in John 2. Do everything he tells you. I know. Just do everything he tells you. And that's like us. Do everything he tells you. Trust him with all your heart. He will help you. He will lead you. And you will have a feast like no other. It's a personal, meaningful, profound exchange between you and God. Because he's for you and he loves you. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Anyone listening, this is an invitation to you from God, to you, to your heart, between you and God, to say to him by faith, yes, God, yes, Jesus, I need you. I need you in my life. Come into my life. And I ask you to give me this small feast. Call me your friend in John 15. Tell me that you are for me. I have received you and you've given me power to become your child. I'm walking by faith in that reality. I believe you. And show yourself to me this week. And show yourself to me in prayer time. And minister to me and show me. Help me in my life. Help me and give me the kind of people I need in my life. And teach me. I accept you in Jesus' name. Amen.